Our reading today is taken from the Gospel of James, chapter 5, verses 13 to 20, and can be found on page 1216 of the Church Bibles. The Prayer of Faith. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you ill? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up if they have sinned. They will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring that person back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Our second reading is from Mark chapter 9, verses 38 to 50, and can be found on page 1013 of the Church Bibles. Teacher, said John, we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us. Do not stop him, Jesus said. For no one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us. Truly, I tell you, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to the Messiah will certainly not lose their reward. If anyone causes one of these little ones, those who believe in me, to stumble, it would be better for them if a large millstone were hung round their neck and they were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands to go into hell, where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell, where the worms that eat them do not die and the fire is not quenched. Everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can you make it salty again? Have salt among yourselves and be at peace with each other. This is the word of the Lord.
About prayer, but before I do that, let's pray quickly. Father God, I pray you'd take the words that I'm about to say and you'd speak to everybody here, including me, through them, and encourage us and draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So hopefully this will go slightly better than the 8 a.m. My printer ran out of printer ink this morning, So I winged the first two pages of it with probably a shorter sermon, so some people would have been glad. That's only beaten by the time I came up to preach and realised that I'd only taken the top couple of sheets of the sermon and then turned to the last one and realised the last page was totally missing. But that was more of a surprise, so it totally threw me. Prayer is a gift to us from God. It's a chance for us to take time with God, for us to be closer to God. There are lots of seasons in our lives, and during some of them it's easier to pray than in others. Speaking from experience, having small children can make that quite difficult. It can be really hard for people who are spending most of their lives caring for small kids to find that time. That said, the opposite of that is the privilege of having parents who did pray. So on a couple of occasions, I remembered walking in on my parents, walking in on my dad at the kitchen table as he sat there reading his Bible. What are you reading, Dad? On other occasions, walking into their bedroom in the morning and barging in and finding one of them kneeling at the bed, praying, reading their Bible. Can I join you? Can I pray with you? Yes, come and kneel with me and pray. What are we going to pray for? We'll say thank you to God for something. Thank you, God, for the park. I think I was about 23 at the time. No, I was probably about four or five. So if you're a parent considering doing this stuff with your kids, go on, give it a go. Try some of this stuff. But you've got to find the stuff that works for you, okay? So as a child, I remember the times when my parents would go to church and hear something like John Wesley's journal read and then decide there'd be no TV on Sundays. Child rearing in the modern age, and it didn't fit the family. And you know when it doesn't fit your family because it's somebody else's idea. And maybe you felt a bit guilty about something and you came home and you decide you do it at home and it really didn't work and it lasted about a week. Work out what it looks like for you. I don't think there's a one-size-fits-all. And it's not just about kids, is it? There's lots of stuff in life that can get in the way. Being a full-time carer for anybody can make life difficult. Maybe it's a long commute. Maybe it's working shifts. Maybe it's long hours at work. Whatever it is, there are lots of things that can get in the way of prayer. Our reading from James this morning said that whatever's happening, pray. He says, if any of you are in trouble, pray. And a congregation this size, I put a pint on it, there's a few people here who would think, yeah, I'm in trouble this morning, whether it's small or whether it's big. It's saying, go to God with that. Go to God with that trouble. It may not be sorted out, but take it to God. Spend time with God. So I remember doing exams when I was a lot younger, probably about 20 years ago now, and praying, oh God, please can you help me? I'm worried. Can I give this failure to you? If I fail, I want to give you this failure. And I felt a real sense of peace then, that if I did fail, that this would be something that I could take to God and that my identity was still safe with God. It didn't matter if people looked at me and went, oh, imagine doing that. That I worked hard, I did what I needed to, but that failure would be God. And there was a sense of peace there. A sense that I was God's. I was his child. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. There's a second part to that exam story. It's one of the few times in my life where I've really clearly heard God speak to me in my situation, just there on the spot. And I had that sense of peace. And then I also felt God say to me, oh, and by the way, if you do well, that's mine as well. Oh, right, okay, so I've got peace, but I also know that this success, if I am successful, isn't for me to kind of revel and gloat in. It's not always easy to bring that to God when you're in trouble. It's not always to bring your good situations to God. I think different people struggle with different things, don't they? So some people find it easy to pray when they're in trouble, when things are going good. Hey, it's brilliant. I'm a genius, you know, I'm fantastic. This is all me. It's wonderful. I'm going to go my own way and I forget about God. Or I praise God when things are easy, but when things get hard, why? You know, forget it, it doesn't matter. And it's saying, come on, refocus, get focused on God. If you've been distracted because things are hard or if things are easy, bring it to God. And it says, is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, in the Anglican Church, we don't have the role of an elder named in English as an elder. Some churches do. That's great. That's good. The word underneath that is in Greek is presbyter, what we would say is presbyter here, and that's interchangeable in the Anglican world with priest. So for us, call David or call me if you're sick. Call the church office. It says elders, so you might get more than one of us coming, bringing some of the prayer team or the leadership team to pray. It's our job. During the ordination service, it says that part of the role of the priest, the presbyter, is ministry to the sick. Okay? So you shouldn't feel guilty about that either. If somebody's got a job, they should do the job they're paid for or they're called to, right? So if you are sick, ask for prayer. Anointing with oil, okay? Now, what we're not going to do is try and recreate a ceremony that's 2,000 years old that there's almost no information about, okay? We're not about doing that to try and get back to some basic ancient Christian ritual. What we will do is just try to be obedient. It says to do this. It says anoint people with oil, right? You might get the sign of the cross on your forehead. We might put oil on your palm and pray for you at the same time. And there's lots of symbolism there associated with anointing, with kingship, with being loved, with healing, with all of those sort of things. But it's also about obedience. And in the name of the Lord, that's in the name of Jesus. And that just marks out the world that we're working in. Right? This isn't about the fact that the leaders of the church are especially anointed charismatic healers. This is saying this is God. This is God at work. Whatever happens now, this is God's. It's to God's glory and we're trusting in God. We're trusting in Jesus. And then comes the really difficult part. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well and the Lord will raise them up. Now, I've got one prayer that I have 100% success rate with, okay? One prayer. And every time I've prayed it, it's worked. Mind you, I've only prayed it once. And that was when my granddad was really ill. And I said, Granddad, it's okay, you can go now, we're going to be fine. Jesus, please take him. And he died. Now, nobody else has asked me to pray that for them. Okay? I've still got my 100% success rate, though. It's possible to read that verse and apply some mathematical logic to it. This will happen if that. There's a mystery in when praying for people. When we pray, sometimes we don't see people get better there and then. But we're trusting God with this. And we have to trust God with that. But we're not alone there. If you look in the New Testament, Paul says, I've prayed to God to take away this thorn in my flesh, and he hasn't done it, and he said, my grace is sufficient for you. Oh, this is the Apostle Paul. In the New Testament, it said he sent his hankies around, people touched them, and they got healed, right? That's the person who could walk past and say, get healed, and people will get healed. And he said, I've prayed, and God's not taken this away. You're not alone. There's also another bit in 2 Timothy, where it says, we had to leave somebody behind when we moved on to another city because they were sick. Oh, hold on. You mean the apostles presumably prayed for this person, but they didn't get better. You're not alone when you see that happen. Okay? But we don't have an explanation, and I think sometimes scraping around for an explanation isn't a very helpful thing. Just tie yourself in knots and worry about it. And then you say, oh, well, did we not have enough faith in the room then? If they've sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. So here, the work of prayer can extend beyond the leadership team. The elders. Pray for each other, it says. It also says confess your sins. Now this, I wouldn't normally put a health warning on something, but here's a health warning, right? Don't confess your sins to somebody that you don't trust totally, okay? To a gossip, to somebody that's unwise, to somebody that's easily shockable, right? To somebody that's going to judge you. Find somebody you know to be a mature, grown-up Christian who's been through it themselves and talk to them about what's wrong in your life. And in the context of healing, what we're not saying is, now, if you haven't confessed everything you've ever done wrong, there's no chance of being healed. That's not what we're saying, because you're going to spend hours scraping the bottom of the barrel to try and find the thing that you might have forgotten. What it's saying here is, if there is something massive in your life that you know is contrary to the will of God, confess it, right? Okay? We're not looking for, now, hang on, Monday morning I got up, right? And normally I get up and out of bed by myself and I leave the house and almost nobody's awake and I just say goodbye. But the children got up and I was grumpy because they spoilt my morning routine. Now, that's not so far from the truth for me. And then on the way into work, somebody decided that I was on my bike and they would cut me up. And that upsets me quite a lot as well. And then when I got to work and so on, that's not what this is about, right? In fact, if that was actually a trend of being vile to the people around me, yes, confess that, right? But this is about, is there something in your life that is so wrong that if you want to be healed, perhaps you should do something about it? Pick the right people. Confession is not a sacrament in the Anglican Church, but it's incredibly powerful. And if you feel like you need that and don't know where to turn, come and talk to me or David. That's part of our jobs. We can hear a confession. It's not the same as a Catholic confession, but we're happy to do that. And it can be a blessing if you need to do that. While it's not mentioned in the passage as directly as you might hope today, it does say, go and pray. Pray for each other. And I say it often when I'm leading the service. Ask me or David, ask the people in the sanctuary to pray for you, or minister to each other. Ask each other to pray. There are some simple guidelines for prayer, but I want to go through what it's not. David, I had a situation a few years ago, probably about 20 years ago, where I had some operations. And David's me now. And it went
much better than you looking than I usually.
And David is me. And I went to a really good friend and mentor for prayer. And it went something like, Father God, I pray that you would make this surgeon skilled. And I'm thinking, what do you mean he's not skilled? I thought they're all skilled. Father God, I pray you give him steady hands. I'm not being funny here, but what did you? Has he got the shakes? Okay. And Father God, I pray that the wounds would heal really quickly and not get infected, and he wouldn't have to go back for more operations, and there wouldn't be too much pain. I cope, right, by ignoring things. This is possibly the most unhelpful prayer I've ever had prayed over me, because by the end of it, I'm going to have some horrible pussy infection. I've got a surgeon with the shakes and he's barely competent. Right, okay. Now, there's Soul Survivor and New Wine, and I've been to that quite a lot. We've been to New Wine. They have some basic guidelines during ministry time and during prayer time. Can I have the slide up, please, if we can do that? So these are just really, really straightforward. So the first build on there. So the first bullet, if it builds. Okay. Right, what would you like me to pray for, David? Now, notice I've not assumed that I know anything. We're in a conversation. And it's up to David to tell me how much or how little he wants me to pray for. Okay? I'm not going to pry. Ooh, Dad, tell me more. Go on. Do you know what? God knows better than David knows. God knows better than I know. You're just looking for the heart condition when you come to God. Not literally a heart condition, or mine.
What do you know?
What do I know? Yes. I'm sorry, it's not a prophecy, I promise you. Next one. Be sensible. I said not prying. It's also not a counselling session as well. We're here to take this to God. We're here to present our care, our concern, our fervent prayer to God. And the next one, please. Laying on of hands. Ask, don't presume. Be sensitive. And this isn't a distraction, okay? Right? So that also goes, we don't tend to do it here, but in bigger ministry times, it's not a scrum, okay? A few people, not a bundle, right? And be sensible, you know, and be sensitive. Okay, keep your eyes open. If God's working, right? Watch the person, watch what's happening. Don't sit there and drift off, because the next thing you know, they've cleared off home. Right, and you're still wittering away to yourself. And also, I can see if David's starting to look criminally bored and thinking, actually, I just wanted you to pray. Just quickly, Simon. Okay, and the next one. Feel free to wait, though, is the other part of that. Sometimes it's right to wait on God. Do you want to sit down? Actually, I've finished with you. So I realize I keep on talking. Is there anything you want me to pray for?
No.
No, okay, you can sit down then. Okay, feel free to wait. Give God some space, give God some time, but again, be sensitive. This is practical. Yeah, don't stifle or build up emotions. Don't hype somebody up. You know, don't kind of build that up. But equally, if somebody's really upset, don't there and try to squash it. Sometimes people have got to be given enough space to be upset, to express whatever emotion it is they're having, where God's dealing with them. The next one, please. If things go wrong, or you think I'm out of my depth here, ask for help. That's what the leadership team are here for, right? You don't have to do it by yourself. And you can get into situations where somebody is telling you about something in your life and you think, oh my goodness. So you can still pray, God, deal with this. You don't even need to know what to pray for. Holy Spirit, move. God, move. Please do something, God. Please sort this out. But it's also okay to say, hey, I'm going to go and get somebody else here. And is there anything else? Before I say you have authority, there's another thing here. Confidentiality is really, really important. Okay? If somebody tells you about something in their life, confidentiality is incredibly important, but we do not offer secrecy. Okay? There will be some things that you have to go and tell other people about. Okay, now those are typically child protection issues and criminal things, okay? So there's a tiny, tiny subset of things, but we don't offer secrecy, okay? If somebody's sick and they tell you about that, that's confidential. If somebody's got something else happening in their life, that's confidential. Sickness, illness, sadness, but we don't offer secrecy, okay? You have authority. We stand on the authority given to us in Jesus to speak to illnesses and to pray for people. And that can be really hard in our modern world as rational individuals, but we're given that, and that's the ground that we pray on, and that's where we come, not with our own kind of holiness or our own hyped upness, but we come with what Jesus has given us. So I'm going to stop that there. I'm going to say what I often say during services. David and I are here to pray for you. There'll be people waiting in the sanctuary at the end, and they would love to pray for you too. And equally, you are all ministers, if you believe in Jesus, in the healing power and the grace of God. So you're free, within some sensible parameters, to go and pray for each other. And actually, if you would like more training in prayer ministry or prayer or how to pray for people, again, that's something that David or I would be absolutely delighted to organise for folks. Amen.